It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And I'm joined now by Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
Welcome back. Been on vacation for a few days. I noticed.
It was fun. It was very fun.
Yeah, all right, well, good. I'm glad. Now you're refreshed. You're ready to take on the events of the world, and particularly those in Congress, as they come back from spring recess, or whatever you want to call it. New GOP bill gives administration 4 years to secure the borders. What's this all about?
So this is a couple of important lawmakers. The chairman of the House Homeland Security, the chairwoman of the Border Security Subcommittee on that committee, and then Senator John Cornyn, who is the number two ranking senator, Republican senator, and has obviously from Texas, has long ties to this issue and is influential on border security and immigration. They have introduced bills in both the House and Senate that would it would order the Homeland Security Department to go ahead and finally do two things. First of all, come up with an actual definition of what it means to have border security or control of the borders, and then second, say, okay, go ahead and do that within 4 years. And a couple of reasons why this is important. First of all, we've talked in the past about the fact that the Homeland Security Department, since 2010, literally does not have a definition of border security.
Yeah, I know.
It used to be operational control, how many miles of the border they thought they had under enough control that they could reasonably detect and interdict any crossers. That they scrapped in 2010 because, frankly, because they said it wasn't a very good measure and because they weren't doing very well on it. And they promised a new measure, a new yardstick by last year. Here we are a year later and still no yardstick. In fact, they testified to the Homeland Security Committee that those two lawmakers are part of. They testified to that last month that they don't have anything in the works that would even count as a measure of border security. And that shocked everybody up here in Congress. This bill is partially a response to that. It says, look, if we're going to go ahead and have a big, broad immigration debate, we sure need to know what border security is and need to know how close you are to getting there. Janet Napolitano assuring Americans that the border is safer now than it ever has been is nice, but it's not numbers. It's not measurements. It's her opinion, and that's not necessarily enough to convince most Americans that we're there. So this bill says come up with actual measurements we can all agree on, and it actually gives a few things that should be in those measurements. It says you have 4 years once you come up with them to actually go ahead and implement them and get the border secure. And by the way, you're going to have to submit your results to an independent national laboratory for them to be able to say, to evaluate you and say, yes, you actually are meeting those measurements.
Yeah, because, you know, when you and I have talked about this in the past, I always thought that we had to secure the borders first and then write the immigration bill. And so when I saw this today, I thought, okay, well, this is going to force the hand to make them do exactly that.
Sort of. I think so. The direction that the negotiators are going right now is that they would legalize, their bill would legalize everybody who's here illegally right now, grant them an instant sort of tentative status, sort of like what the DREAM Act kids have,
right.
A tentative legal status. It wouldn't actually give them the path to citizenship, though, the real holy grail of immigration, citizenship. It wouldn't give them that until after we have border security. So they would, the legalization or the amnesty, if you will, would come immediately, but the actual path to citizenship would depend on actually meeting border security. It's called a trigger. You would have to trigger that border security is done before the path would begin. So the way that I see this bill that these Republicans introduced, and it's worth noting, none of these Republicans are actually part of those negotiations right now. These are sort of conservative folks who are not part of the negotiations, but what their bill does is it basically says, okay, this is what the trigger should be. Let's actually, if we're going to all agree that we should do border security, use these definitions. First of all, come up with a real definition for border security, and second of all, make sure that that whatever you do is independently verified by a national laboratory. So one way of viewing this is that this is going to be the conservatives' alternative to whatever triggers the negotiators write into their bill, and this is going to be this Cornyn McCall bill that we're talking about is likely to be a major battleground. That'll be the conservative entry in the immigration debate on border security.
All right. I know this is not what we planned to talk about, but the Gang of Eight, anything new there?
They're still fine. finalizing, and we're told that they're looking that they're beginning to, or I guess in the process of actually writing the legislative language. So they've got all the broad sort of principles agreed to, but now actually writing the legislative language, right? You know, all the legalese to carry that into action is what they're in the middle of, and that's a little more tricky. We've actually been told that the bill could likely stretch to 1,500 pages.
Oh, good.
I actually think I was trying to remember. I need to go back and look. But I think in 2006 and 2007, the last two times we had these broad bills, we were only talking about maybe 700 pages worth of legislation. So I'm really eager to see what's caused us to double the size of the immigration bill. I mean, it's going to be – well, I imagine I'll read most of it, but I don't know how many other people actually read most of it. It'll be fun to see what's in there.
Yeah. Pork come to mind?
Well, yeah, pork, and more than that, and there are all sorts of small decisions that yeah, can end up having huge consequences. So there'll be a lot of that in there.
Yeah. All right. Another story that you've been working on. The government has been paying for information it should have just Googled.
Yeah, this is the Government Accountability Office, which is Congress's auditing arm. They audit the federal government for Congress, and they released their third duplication report today. And this is every year for the last 3 years, they've gone back and looked at all the areas or another set of areas where the federal government overlaps with itself. And in this case, they pointed out that I love this one. The auditors always write in really dry language when they write about this stuff. But today, the report says that there's part of the Commerce Department that holds a repository of a bunch of technical reports and whatnot, and they actually charge other federal agencies to get access to those reports. You know, about $75 for some of these reports in hard copy, and they still, you know, $15 for the reports in electronic format, which you think should be as easy as just hitting the button on send on an email, but
sure,
they charge for that too. The auditors in this really dry sort of language went ahead and said, well, actually, 74% of those reports are available through public sources. By the way, the source that we most often found them at was something called Google.com. And, you know, these are auditors who are really dry, and I just love, you know, by the way, guys, Google.com. You know, I don't know if your listeners are familiar with this. I actually make use of this. There's a website called LMGTFY.com, which stands for Let Me Google That For You. And what it does is when somebody asks you a dumb question that you think, well, you should have just gone and Googled that, you can go into LMGTFY.com, you type in the question that they asked you, you click a button, and it goes ahead and creates a little slideshow of somebody going to Google, typing in that question, clicking on the search button, and then it says, now that wasn't so tough, was it? And
oh,
takes you to the results. And
good.
That's essentially what you feel like sending to the federal government.
Oh, my God, that's perfect.
LMGTFY.com.
What is it again? So LM?
Let Me Google That For You is what it stands for. So the acronym, LMGTFY.com.
Oh, God, I have to use that. I have to use that. That is priceless. All right, my friend, well, keep me. Oh, by the way, did we get a dollar figure as to how much, you know, they were paying for this stuff? Or is it just, you know, a lot?
Well, that one's actually not so much. It's on the order of millions per year. but, you know, overall, the duplication is billions and billions. You know, the other number that's interesting is there are more than 600 different renewable energy programs spread across 23 different federal agencies. So, you know, that's where you get some real duplication and probably a lot of waste.
Yep. All right. Great to talk to you. Good stuff as always, and we'll do it again. Thanks, Stephen.
My pleasure, Andy.
Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. 4:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.